Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Did not, 10-year-old Dylan hollered at his friend Brett. Did too, Brett bellowed back. Did not, Dylan protested vigorously. What's this shouting match all about? Dylan's dad opened the car door and Dylan's soccer team members tumbled in. Brett thinks I missed an easy goal in the game today, Dylan grimaced, but I wasn't even open. Well, you all played terrifically, Dylan's dad smiled, and you have the trophies to prove it. Several of the boys rolled their eyes. It's not such a big deal, Mr. Norris, came a voice from the back seat, since everyone gets one of these. It's for participating. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about competition for children? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest is the resource counselor in a middle school, so she faces competition issues every day. Erica Huck has worked as a school counselor at Thomas W. Pyle Middle School in Bethesda, Maryland, for more than 10 years. She works with students in grades 6, 7, and 8, and is the counseling department chairperson. Erica is married and the mother of two daughters in third grade and kindergarten. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Erica.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
What's the biggest myth we parents have about children and competition?
I think the biggest myth is that all kids' self-esteem will suffer if they don't win in competition. You know, I think sometimes parents think that if, say, they try out for something like an audition or they don't score the goal or they're not the best, that that's really hurting kids, when I think in reality it's really important for kids to participate in those kind of activities, and some of the greatest lessons are actually taught when they don't win and when maybe they don't get that audition or they don't score the goal.
Does it mean that when that happens, parents should be available as sort of sounding boards?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's about helping them put things in perspective. Talking about, well, what friends did you make? You know, who did you hang out with today? What did you learn from it? Did you have fun at any part of this? And what did you like about it?
And it also seems that in a lot of situations, we could really list a lot of these, of course, that parents may be more involved in the competitive aspect of it than the kids.
Definitely. I think sometimes we worry so much that kids are going to be so deflated by these competitive experiences. And in reality, I think sometimes parents' egos are way more involved in the competition than often the kids are. And then when you help them to put it in perspective, even if they were a little bit unnerved or a little bit deflated, if you can help them put it in perspective, they really jump right back for the most part.
What are the advantages for a child to be in a competitive situation?
I think there's a lot. I think it can be very motivating. It can provide a real healthy peer pressure. I see this a lot with kids in advanced classes in school, that they're really motivated by the peers they're with to do very well. I think it provides a great sense of camaraderie when you're with a team or a part of a production or working in a band together with other people playing your instrument and sort of working to be better. It's a really healthy competition, and working together, I think, is a fantastic strength that kids have when they work together that way. One advantage that I've seen for students is also if a child is really experiencing some difficulties in one area. So, for example, I have a student that struggles with academics. The child has an individualized education plan, some special education needs, and school's hard in terms of academics. But this child excels in sports. And so to be able to have those successes in sports has done so much to keep the self-esteem going. And I think some of the lessons that the child's been able to learn through sports has also carried over into academics about, you know, persevering and trying hard and working towards goals. So I think that's another real advantage for kids to be involved in competitive situations.
What's the difference between working in a team, you guys want to win as a team, and being in a competition where it's you?
A big difference. My daughter was on a swim team this past summer for the first time, and I had never done that as a youth myself, and I was amazed at how uplifting and sort of bonding that experience was for her, to be able to see how she was working for her personal best and to get a better time, but it was all toward a team score. You know, so how her individual efforts were able to contribute to a team. And, you know, sort of soccer is a similar thing where you're all working together toward a goal. But then something like gymnastics maybe, or even tennis where it's more individual and it's all on you, I think that does sometimes add additional pressure for kids when they feel like it's just me.
So what are the pitfalls adults should watch for when a child is in a competition?
You know, I think all kids are different, and it's going to vary from kid to kid. But I think the most important thing to watch for is when a kid seems too emotionally taxed in a competitive situation. It's different for every kid. There are some children that really sort of thrive in that environment. And when they don't succeed or there's been a pitfall, it doesn't really affect their self-esteem. They just sort of bounce back. And others take it much harder. So I think it's a matter of watching your individual kids and starting to look for when they say things like, you know, I'm a failure. You know, I can't do this anymore. I'm no good at this. My coach hates me. Things that sort of seem like they're personalizing the experience as opposed to just maybe being disappointed.
And then what?
I think it depends on the severity of the situation. I think we have to encourage kids. We don't want kids to be so afraid to fail that they don't try, because it's really important to get out there and try things. But on the other hand, we don't want kids to start to feel completely deflated and to not try things because of failure experiences. I think there's a balance there.
Are there certain developmental ages and stages where individual kinds of competition are not a good idea?
Yeah, I think early on, you know, particularly with real young ones, there's no real need to have that sort of competition, you know, that early. So, for example, I see on soccer teams when kids are really young, they do a lot of just sort of group games, you know, and team games where everyone sort of gets to succeed and cheer each other on. I think that's very developmentally appropriate. And the other thing I would say is sometimes I don't think you should have kids in too many competitive activities. It's one thing to have your child involved in maybe competitive soccer, but then does it they need to be involved in competitive experiences with their musical instrument and in their dance class and with their art competition? I feel very strongly that some activities for kids need to be just recreational, just fun. You know, you don't have to be the best in everything. You know, and I think sometimes parents that I see sometimes feel a real pressure as parents to have their kids good at everything. You know, we need to have the best athlete and, you know, the musician and the child involved in the arts and involved in community service and, you know, academics and, you know, what adult is the best, very competitive in all those areas.
In so many cases, we're all familiar with the very pushy parent, whether it be in athletics or whether it be in academics, but no sleepovers, no music for just fun, no athletic teams or gymnastics. How do you feel about that?
I think in some ways it's a good concept to have that you want your kids to be successful and that you have high expectations for your kids and that you are going to expose them to many different kinds of opportunities for learning and to build their self-esteem. But I think that it can go too far, you know, and I've seen it go too far, where I think intentions are good, but it ends up really hurting self-esteem and completely overwhelming kids where they are so stressed out to the point that they're not, A, enjoying anything, B, even learning sometimes they're so stressed out that it's actually blocking their ability to learn their instrument or to perform in the class because their anxiety about sort of being so either so overscheduled or so regimented and having such little freedom, it really impacts their ability to succeed.
Wouldn't you say that pushing too hard in certain directions limits social opportunities and learning to socialize becomes more of a problem?
Right. I mean, I think it definitely does. And it limits your opportunity to be a kid, you know, mm-hmm. to just sort of, you know, have the experience of having free time is so important for kids. Having that down, unstructured time is imperative, you know, to figure out who you are. You know, there's more development at the middle school age, socially, emotionally, academically, than any other stage besides birth to three. And if kids are completely overscheduled and regimented in terms of everything that they need to do, it's almost like it's a full-time job just being a middle school kid to work on figuring out who you are and who your friends are and what that says about you and dealing with your changing body and just trying to figure out, you know, who I am in relation to my parents and how am I different than my parents. I mean, these are big stages kids are going through. And to have so much pressure placed on learning an instrument or getting perfect grades or achievement in dance at the expense of really being able to focus on those important areas is hurting kids. We know as adults, those are the things that create successful human beings and that create people that are able to hold down jobs and are able to excel and move up in jobs because they have people skills and social skills and confidence and the ability to persevere when they make a mistake or when they lose a job, or when they don't get a project. You know, those are the things that create successful human beings, not necessarily that they had perfect grades, no three instruments, are great in dance, and did 500 hours of community service.
Do Do you feel that there are certain kinds of kids that we should particularly pay attention to who might end up in competitive situations because they happen to be very good at what they're doing, but their own personalities or kind of development is a little bit of a red flag?
Absolutely. And I think sometimes it presents itself pretty early on even. Kids that get very obsessed, you know, very obsessive sort of qualities with competition, I think is something to keep an eye on. So, for example, one of my good friends, her son, is just very competitive. And he loves soccer and loves to win and is very good and gets lots of goals. But if their team doesn't win, you know, no one's even really counting because the kids are scoring so many of these little goals on their half fields. But the kids are, you know, and he certainly is. He gets very, very upset, you know, and it sticks with him for a long time if he doesn't win. And one of the decisions she made, which I thought was fantastic, is she's really held off on getting him involved in other competitive situations. For example, video games. She's seen that when he goes to other people's house and he plays video games, he gets completely obsessive and gets upset and gets angry with himself, and it creates this sort of, you know, very funky mood that he gets in. So she's made a very conscious decision in her house that she's going to hold off on, like, the Wii and, you know, the Nintendo DS and a lot of things that kids his age are starting to get into, because she knows with his personality that that would not be healthy for him at this point.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion about competition and children.
Popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Erica Huck about children in competition. How do you feel about sports events or other environments where the normally competitive part of the experience is replaced with ribbons or medals for all the participants?
For the most part, I'm against this kind of thing. I think it's fine for, you know, children that are younger, you know, for example, kids in preschool, because, again, they're just sort of out there and they're, you know, they're out there for effort and learning. And I think that that can be very uplifting for them. But in some point, it feels false to kids. I mean, they know at some point that there's a reality that some teams have won lots of games and some haven't, or that this person is way better at this musical instrument and I'm just not as good. It creates a false sense of achievement, and kids get that. And then it doesn't even feel really great to them. It takes away the honor of getting something when you really have earned it.
How do you handle that then if your child is on a team where that's the standard? Mm-hmm. Everyone goes home at the end of that season with a small trophy.
Yeah, I think I've seen coaches and parents handle it really well. When you have teams that do have the ribbon that they get or the trophy that they get, I think to have each kid come up and share a little bit about what they contributed to the team, whether it was most improved player, and just making it individual about what they actually did achieve, even if it was just to be a great friend to someone else or to always, you know, be friendly or welcome another player, or, you know, even if it's a social aspect of an achievement, I think personalizing it is helpful.
How can we tell whether a child will thrive on competition or possibly be deflated by that kind of participation?
I think a lot of it's trial and error, to be honest, and you're continually assessing how that's going for kids. I think it is really important to encourage them to try things and not just be afraid that they're going to fail and that is why they won't try things. And again, to look for those obsessive kinds of traits and qualities that could be a problem in competition. And so to make sure that you're watching for maybe too many, again, competitive activities. Looking for, you know, how kids are able to adapt and helping them work through situations that are novel and new, and knowing about your child how they typically transition. You know, sometimes you know from a very early age that some children have more difficulty adapting to new situations than others. And so some kids may need a little more preparation before you sort of throw them into a new sport or into a new activity to sort of understand maybe a little bit more what it's going to be like and prepare them than maybe some others.
This is a little bit to the left of what we're talking about, but I was thinking about gymnastics, where when girls particularly are in this environment from the beginning, it seems not only to have competition, but the overlay of self-image. How do you deal with all that?
Again, it's very individual, and it depends on, I think, coaches and parents and people's ability to help children put things into perspective, but I think kids will start to give you hints if there is an issue. You mentioned gymnastics or dance, and so one thought that comes to mind immediately is, you know, body image. And I think that's a real risk. And, you know, I personally think when you have a kid that's highly competitive in either one of those areas, it's something that a lot of parents need to go into with their eyes open, that that could be a risk, and that you need to continually be talking to your kids about healthy habits and healthy eating and healthy body image, and talking to coaches about their philosophies about the same kinds of concepts. Because I think there is a risk that, you know, kids start to compete with each other, too, you know, and they look around and they see, you know, who has the better grades or who is faster in the sport or who is winning more awards in gymnastics, and they compete with themselves.
Do kids generally see competition as a fluid thing, or do they see, okay, there's really a pecking order? And this one's always the best, and this one's going to be the, and here's where I am in the pecking order.
I think there is a lot of the pecking order thing for kids. I think it's something naturally that kids see. They compare themselves. But I do think that it's our job as parents and as educators and as coaches to help children see more than that. Because even that exists, and we can't deny that it exists. You know, you're going to see when you're out on the soccer field that some kids are faster than other kids. And some kids score more goals than other kids. And some kids are really better at defense than other kids. And to ignore that, you know, isn't reality. And that wouldn't be, I think, realistic or helpful for our kids. But to be able to help them see other things, too. When so-and-so passed the ball after this other player made this great block, that was really a turning point in our game, you know, and that was really a team effort sort of thing. And it plays a role in academics as well. You know, kids are very aware at the middle school level who's in the advanced math class, you know, for example, who's in algebra and who's in the on-grade level math and, you know, what does that mean for me? And I think it's also our job as parents to help kids understand that, you know, where they are and what they're working towards. And, you know, sometimes I see kids that say, well, you know, I have a friend in that class and I want to be in that class. Okay, well, you don't know decimals yet, really, or you haven't mastered fractions, so would it be a good idea for you to head right into the algebra class? And I think sometimes parents think they're doing the right thing by supporting what their kids want, when really it isn't maybe always what they need. And we have to help kids put things in perspective that, okay, if this is your goal, maybe there's some other things we can do to get you ready for that goal. But just sort of plunking people in maybe isn't the best idea all the time. I think it's about setting realistic goals. I think encouraging the idea of goal setting is so important and so healthy for kids. But for example, sometimes I think kids set unrealistic goals for themselves. So I've talked to students that say, I want to get straight A's all 3 years when I'm at middle school, you know, and that's my goal. And it's a wonderful goal. You know, who wouldn't want that to be the goal? But it isn't necessarily realistic. And so you wouldn't want kids to feel like they've failed, you know, if they didn't achieve that goal, because as we know, efforts that go into getting the B sometimes are harder than even some of the efforts going in some classes to get the A. So I think setting realistic goals for kids and helping them see where they are and where they can get to and how that is accomplishment, you know, the sort of baby steps along the way that are accomplishments.
Does it mean revisiting these things and specific time frames in some way?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you know, the future for some kids is the weekend, you know. So I think definitely revisiting things and having short-term goals going by months or maybe even weeks sometimes is a really great way for kids to chart their progress and their success. So if the goal is to get great grades, maybe a wonderful goal for them would be to have all their homework assignments turned in at the end of the week and have no missing assignments. The idea that everything's in the grade book and turned in for some kids would be a really great goal.
Is that the kind of thing where a classroom teacher could put a chart up on the wall and everybody who turns in their assignments at the end of the week gets a star? Or
yeah,
that kind
absolutely.
Of thing?
And I think that's something that parents can reinforce at home as well. At our school, we have like an online grade book, so parents can sort of see online all the grades that their kids have. And so what they can do then is pull that up and then create a chart at home as well and say, you know, it's fantastic in your English class. You know, look, you went from last quarter where you really didn't turn in your assignments every week, and now this quarter, everything's in. You know, that's achievement.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion about children and competition.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We're talking with Erica Huck about children in competition.
What kinds of situations should never be competitive, even if a child pushes for them to be?
I think situations regarding family and love and who are favorites, those things should never be competitive, even if children push it. You know, mommy, am I your favorite? Am I the smartest? Do I have the best sense of humor? And sometimes I think, you know, inadvertently, parents play into that as well. I mean, I hear sometimes when we have students in our school with older siblings and then younger ones coming in, the parent will say, oh, this is my smart one. You know, you're going to love her. Or, oh, this is the funny one. This is my funny child. Or, you know, this is my athletic child coming up. And to kind of put those labels on really is so unnecessary.
I heard a mother say what I thought was a very wise comment one time to a teacher who commented, this woman has, the mother has three children. The oldest, the daughter, is truly an exceptional, extraordinary young woman. Following her came the middle son in high school, and one of the teachers said to the mother, I'm dealing with a child who's trying to follow someone who's very special. And the mother said, every single one of them is very special, and they're all unique, and they have to be handled as individuals. And she meant it, and it's true. I mean, she has three very unique, interesting children. But the teacher was automatically assuming this child wasn't going to live up to her expectations.
Yeah, well, it's so wonderful when you see the kids that come in just thinking that they can be whoever they want to be and, you know, and be just who they are. And you do see that some siblings, you know, when I see them come through, parents have created that climate in their family where they're all unique and they're all special and there isn't any of that competitive edge that sometimes does exist.
And I guess it's up to us as parents to make sure that our children know that we value whatever it is that they've put their energy into, so that showing up at the soccer game is just as important as showing up at the music recitals or showing up at the gymnastics.
And celebrating successes that each one of the individual kids have and encouraging the siblings to celebrate with each other, you know, creates such a sense of unity in the family, I think.
What are the best guidelines for parents to make a competition a fulfilling experience for children?
I think managing your own expectations as a parent is really important, and remaining level and relaxed and even keel. I mean, I'm even guilty myself of when my daughters have something big coming up. They both auditioned for a play recently. Have you eaten your breakfast? Is everything okay? How do you feel? I feel myself getting nervous, and sometimes my daughters have to remind me, Mom, we're fine. You know, we're going to be okay. But I think that can happen a lot because you get excited for your kids and you want them to achieve. But I think really going out of your way to remain very neutral, you know, right before things that are about to come up, and emphasizing the experience, not whether you're going to get in or you're going to win. It's, you know, how did you do? Like, tell me about the audition. Or, you know, how was the soccer game? How did you all play? Were you better than last week? My oldest daughter had a great experience last year with her soccer team. They lost every single game. And I am so grateful for it, you know, because it provided so many opportunities for life lessons. And I think that's one thing when I talk to parents I really encourage about middle school. I find that parents come into middle school so nervous that their child's really going to experience a failure at a higher level than it's ever been, because things really start to sort of count more than they ever did in elementary, and things get more competitive, everything. And so what I encourage them to do is not to dread the failures that are bound to happen, but to actually welcome the failures, because that's where the biggest opportunities for learning and the biggest opportunities for growth, and those are your parental moments. Those are the things kids are going to remember, you know, when they failed and then how they overcome it.
And it's funny when you think of the college essay or when you're talking to grown-ups about what were pivotal moments in their lives, they never say, when I won, they say, when I lost, or when I had to regroup or whatever. Those are the learning moments.
Life's a marathon, not a sprint. To get kids to see that and to help them put that in perspective every day, there are so many opportunities for that.
I want to go back for a minute to the team that lost every game. Mm-hmm. Did they come in each time to the next game with the excitement of just the fun of playing?
Some of them. It's interesting to see how the individual kids responded. There's one child on the team that's just so competitive. And she would really just break down into tears sometimes at the end of the game when they didn't win. And then you'd see others go up to her and say, it's okay. You know, we played great. You know, we're going to be fine next time. But it really is individual how kids process it. But I think it was so, for that child that was so competitive, I think it's the best experience she could have had. Early on to experience, you know what, I still had fun, I still made friends, I still got better as a soccer player. And interestingly, at the end of the season, we had lost, you know, the final game after every game, and all the girls said, where's our trophy? Because you know, they were so used to getting all those trophies. And I said, girls, you know, you lost every game, you know, we're not getting a trophy this year. And then they were like, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, no tears about that.
Before we close, what resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to pursue further some of the issues we've been discussing?
There's one book I've read recently that I think is fantastic for parents, particularly of students that are middle school age or higher. It's called The Blessings of a B-minus by Wendy Mogul. She also wrote the book The Blessings of a Skinned Knee, and it's just fantastic. And honestly, it helped me put things in perspective, not only for the students I work with, but even my daughters that are younger as well. I think another thing I would suggest is to talk to like-minded parents. You know, surround yourself with other parents that have balance and that you think do a good job helping their kids put things in perspective. And, you know, when you feel yourself sort of getting tense or stressing out about something, talk to someone that's been there and done that. You know, someone that you really trust, because I think it can help you gain the support you need to then speak to your child in a way that's helpful.
Erica Huck, we are so pleased that you could be with us today and help us understand a little bit more about children and competition.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 470 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. Or check us out at facebook.com/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from Erica Kane. Our sound engineer is Mark Vitelli. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.